If 2023 was the year that Microsoft had Copilot mania, 2024 has proven to be, so far, the year for Microsoft to try to make good on the many Copilot promises it made. Here at Directions on Microsoft, we've been getting a steady trickle of customer questions about Microsoft's various Copilots, what they do, how much they cost, how they're licensed, and the like. We've spent probably more time than we should have needed to trying to help organizations with answers to these questions. We have done a few Copilot related podcasts over the past couple of years, but today's is different. Today, in this podcast, we're going to try to show you our methods for cutting through Copilot complexity, at least some of which of these things we're hoping will help you as well. We also want to give you our take on where Microsoft is with Copilots and where they seem to be going at this point. Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm your host for this series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. My guest for today's episode is Wes Miller. Wes has been co-leading Directions on Microsoft's licensing boot camps for more than 12 years. In addition to teaching as part of the boot camps, Wes analyzes and writes about Azure infrastructure services, including Azure Virtual Machines and Azure Active Directory, as well as Microsoft Systems Management technologies. And lately, he has spent a lot of time trying to decipher Copilot licensing. Lucky you, Wes. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk about Copilot.
Okay, so whether you're in the camp of Copilots are as revolutionary as mobile phones, which is something I've heard CEO Satya Nadella and others say, or if you're in the camp that views Copilots more like a replacement for the Web 3.0 wave that never really materialized, which is the camp I am in, there is no denying this technology is impacting how Microsoft sells to its customers. So maybe we could start there with you explaining some of the underlying dynamics. What are the obvious and not so obvious reasons customers are under increasing pressure by Microsoft to go all in with Copilots?
It's a great question. And I think, you know, we'll get to the what even the range, the gamut of Copilots are. Mm-hmm. But it's clear that a lot of customers, you know, are coming in with the same sort of sets of questions. And, you know, the first one that most of them are talking about, just because it's the most mature, is my devs are so excited about GitHub Copilot. What is it? How do I license it? And then the next conversation is they want to talk about, they just say Copilot, and they always wind up meaning Copilot for Microsoft 365, or as we now know it, Microsoft 365 Copilot, because it changed names.
Yes.
So I think those are really the torchbearers, if you look across the whole crazy range of Copilots that you and I have defined out. Mm-hmm. But as a whole, there's a lot of, you know, developers are pulling GitHub, and then Microsoft is pushing Microsoft 365 Copilot. Mm-hmm. And so you look at those two. I think there is a vested interest in Microsoft 365 Copilot, but there's also just so much confusion about it, particularly because there's a bit of a crossover between it and Teams Premium, not a huge amount. And Jim's going to be doing a report on that next month. It looks great. But one of the things is, what's in the box? And right. Here's, I think, where I'm struggling, and you and I worked really hard over 5 weeks to try and narrow this down to sort of distill the most important pieces of it. But most importantly, customers are incredibly confused because they don't know what it is they're being asked to buy, what the value is, what's done, as we'll talk about, and what's coming. So right. It's hard for them to get a handle on, what am I buying? Am I getting my money's worth? And are the people actually using the thing once I paid this extraordinarily large license fee?
Right. And it's been interesting to me this year to watch Microsoft try to lead by example and say, okay, this is how we think you should try to establish ROI for Copilots in your organization. This is what you should do to increase adoption. It's like they're having to lead customers by the hand or by the blog post, because it's not intuitive, right?
No, it's absolutely not. It kind of reminds me of years ago. I went and did the tours at Microsoft where they would show you, they would basically walk you through, if you had the dream Microsoft stack, here's the experiences you could have. And it looked really holistic. But the problem is you're looking at a bunch of pillars. And it's the same thing with the Copilot stuff, because there's the stuff that's, the stuff that's in this part of Microsoft 365, the stuff that's in Excel, or maybe it's not, the stuff that's in, different pieces. And so just divining out really what Copilot is, even just for this one, is extraordinarily difficult. And I think that's the main thing I'm hearing from customers. If you want me to pay $30 a month per user for this thing, I need to know more what's in the box and what's coming.
For sure. Well, at the start of this week, Microsoft had a virtual event, which it called Copilot Wave 2. So I attended that event, and I have to say it felt to me more like Copilot Wave 1, here's what we missed, or we actually have not yet delivered, because many of the announcements were updates on Copilots and Copilot features that Microsoft actually announced last year or earlier this year, but had not yet delivered. And to me, one of the most important announcements was a branding one, which tells you a lot about the event. Microsoft is now going to call, as you mentioned, the Copilot that we used to call Microsoft Copilot for Microsoft 365. Not kidding. That was the name. To plain old Microsoft 365 Copilot. Yay. I feel like this should help a lot with customer confusion around Copilot, because Microsoft just kept saying, yeah, this is what we're adding to Copilot. And every time they did that, I had to go back to the company and say, okay, but which Copilot do you mean, right?
At least with this now, we'll know they're not talking about Copilot in Bing. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. It also said to me the fact that they did do this rebranding, that they are at least tacitly acknowledging that there is no one Copilot, right? I feel like that's the kind of the big lie that everybody keeps talking about. Like, there's a Copilot and it's lit up in different products and services at Microsoft, but it's still the same Copilot. But as we know, because we've done the research, that isn't true. These Copilots don't do the same thing. They don't train on the same set of data. They aren't even meant for the same audience, right? So I'm wondering what you think about this shift. Do you think it will help with confusion a little, at least?
I think it'll help with confusion a little. I think Microsoft made an incorrect assumption. First of all, the big assumption that they've made is that companies have a lot of time and a lot of money. And it's very clear from our own customers and every customer we're talking to about Copilot, or really any of the new, especially the stuff above E5 that we keep talking with customers about, there's an extraordinary amount of financial pressure on procurement teams, and even the CTO falls in love with Copilot and the idea that if we get this, that it'll make users X more productive, or it will save them X amount of time, both of which are, I think at this point, guesses. Those are the kinds of things that people don't necessarily have the money to throw at. They may talk big that AI will save everybody time, but the reality is we're clearly hearing financial pressure from customers. And I think as much as Microsoft can clarify that each one of these Copilots offers different value, particularly because all of them except two that I found are not free. Most of them have a pretty premium price. So you're asking customers to buy a bunch more things, at least if they're deeply invested in Microsoft, a bunch more things that they didn't used to buy. You got to explain what they're getting. And to your point, the value you get out of GitHub Copilot is so fundamentally different from the value out of Security Copilot. And I'm going to use the haphazard names here, or the value you get out of Microsoft 365 Copilot. Each one is different. And it's by glomming them together, I contend that Microsoft has sort of said every pilot is a jet fighter pilot. And so the Copilot can go with each one. And any experienced pilot will tell you that's not true. You have to understand the aircraft you're flying. And that's where the Copilots actually are great, but Microsoft has done a really bad job of messaging the distinct value of each one. Why do I care?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because they think it'll be too complex to actually go down to the level of, okay, this is what Copilot in Word does versus Copilot in Teams versus Copilot in PowerPoint versus sales and customer service and all the other Copilots, right? Or is it just an attempt to say, okay, like, you don't need to worry about that. Like, Dynamics 365 Copilot, it's a thing. No, it's not. It's like each module in Dynamics 365 has a different Copilot that does different things. There's some overlap, right? But not a lot.
Right. And it's funny when you start dabbling in some of the Copilots adjacent to Dynamics about how there's dependencies on a Microsoft 365 Copilot for a different Copilot.
Yeah.
So right. It's basically you have to buy the, you know, you have to buy one and then pay for a, I'll date myself here, an e-ticket ride to go on the Dynamics one. So it's confusing. I don't think they did it intentionally, but you know, it's, if I'd had the time to write a short story, but you know.
Right. Okay. I want to talk more about this week's Copilot Wave 2 event because there were some really good other hidden gems in there. One was, which I think caught a lot of people, but not us at Directions by surprise, was Copilot in Excel is now GA. So I know so many people have said, no, wait, they announced that Microsoft 365 Copilot was generally available in November last year, but you really had to dig to find this and ask a lot of questions. The one piece of it that was not was Excel. And if you talk to customers who are using the Copilots, either in the early access preview or who actually paid the $30 per user per month for them, everyone complained about Excel. They're like, Excel, it doesn't work. It's broken. It doesn't do any of the things I saw in the demos, right? So I feel like, you know, Microsoft kind of pulled wool over people on that one and just said, don't worry, it's going to be GA. And the GA date kept slipping and slipping and slipping. The other thing they did announce about Excel this week that I saw some people get excited about was Python being integrated into Excel so you could use it for advanced analysis. But I feel like that also was something that had been promised before. So, yeah.
Yeah, that one, that the last one, it's something that's so old, I wrote about it, and I haven't written about Excel in forever.
Yeah.
And I think this is actually a problem also, again, when customers are strapped for both time and money in 2024, I think Microsoft is trying really hard to create this buzz around all of the Copilot world.
Right.
But the problem is, as you highlighted, they keep announcing stuff that we're going to do this. And the world thinks they've done it. They've finished it. And then only, you know, X months later, 3, 6, 12, in some cases, do you hear about, oh, by the way, we finished the thing that we talked about last year at Ignite as the new Ignite is rolling around. And this is something I've been thinking a lot about lately, just that Microsoft, it used to be, you know, they'd ship an alpha, a beta, a release candidate and be done. And sure, we know that the final version wasn't really the final and people would make jokes about the service pack being the real final. But I'm more worried today that particularly with things like what we're seeing with Copilots here, there's a lot of announce the thing as if it's done, say it's GA as if it's done. But particularly with Copilot, it almost feels like where I cover for the GCC, the government customers, Microsoft announces a thing and at some point in time in the future, you'll actually get it.
Right.
They'll talk about it like it's done, but it's not done.
Right. I think to your point, it's partially because they're just trying to get customers to commit, right? And even whether your budget's there or not, like, okay, you've got to buy this because if you don't, you're going to miss out. FOMO, right? Like fear of missing out. But there's also the whole thing, which I don't feel like this really was something that Microsoft succumbed to until more recently, but they want to be first really badly in this space. You know, before I used to always say Microsoft does really well when they're a fast follower, relatively fast follower, but they're trying to be first in this whole Copilot generative AI space. So they're just rushing out announcements without actually having the products finished. And I don't think that can be good in any way, especially if you're asking customers to pay a hefty fee for adoption, right? Because customers have to commit to something like Microsoft 365 Copilot for a year. You can't buy it for less than a year. But once that year is up, and if you didn't get your money's worth, you're not going to renew. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's something I really worry about too. I mean, we sort of saw that with Azure, where Microsoft put a lot of pressure on customers to pay a lot, buy a lot of Azure. And what we saw was if they didn't actually start using it aggressively, they got relatively perturbed that they had spent so much money and didn't burn it in time. And I see the same thing happening with this. There's a really strong potential that Microsoft is going to burn a lot of potential early adopters that have bought into this because, you know, either an exec pulls it or they buy into the, I want to call it hype, let's call it vision. They buy into the vision of where Microsoft is heading and what they're saying. But exactly like you're saying, Microsoft is really good as a fast follower. They're not very good as a leader. And I feel a lot of the problems in that space are what we're seeing here, where they're building technology and it's technology, but they're not building something with the end user in mind. And I just fear for how much money the company is spending, how much money their customers are spending, and how little there actually is as far as fruit on the vine. You know, you plant a fruit tree, you're not going to get fruit immediately. And there's a lot of time before this stuff is really going to bear fruit for enterprises. So I hope they're taking it slow, but I also think you're absolutely right that Microsoft wants to be first. They do. They always do. There's almost this like multi-layered FOMO where particularly the big three cloud vendors and really everybody beyond that is trying to sprinkle some AI into their technology in the hopes that they can make what's kind of a slow year improve in terms of revenue.
Yeah. The other thing I didn't really bring up yet, but both you and I think have heard this from people who work at Microsoft, is because the company is so completely focused on this whole Copilot AI space, there are other products and projects that are just like on perpetual back burner now. It's like, if you can't put a Copilot in here, we don't even want to put that on the shipping product list, right?
Yeah, the cobbler's children don't have AI.
Right. Right. So that's worrisome, too, because, I mean, what makes the world go round in enterprise IT is really boring things like SharePoint and all that kind of stuff, and not so much Copilots. So, yeah, we'll see. All right. I want to ask you one more thing about this week's event, and then we'll switch topics after our break. But to me, when I step back and look at what all the things Microsoft announced this week, they talked about things like Copilot pages and Copilot agents. But underneath, what was really happening was, hey, we're taking SharePoint, we're taking OneDrive, we're taking Loop, and we're going to make those part of our whole strategic move to Copilots. And the way you do that is you say, okay, if you thought Copilots made individuals productive, the next wave of Copilots is going to make the whole team or company more productive because we're going to add this collaboration piece to it. And everybody's going to be one big, happy, collaborating Copilot family, right? So I'm just curious if you think people are ready for that, because to me, I feel like we're still at the point where my data needs to be cleaned up. I need to secure my data, and I'm not even ready to do the individual Copilot. Now you're asking me to enable it company wide. Like, am I thinking too conservatively here?
No, I think you're spot on. And, you know, this is an area that I've been concerned a lot of companies were sort of ignoring up to this point. And I'm already starting to hear, like, if we look at the three in-person boot camps we've done this year, you know, the first one was people champing at the bit to hear more about Copilot. The second was interest. And this last one, there were a lot of hands of people raised who were actually investigating it. But out of the whole group, there was only one org who actually had adopted it. And they were the most hardcore about, we're trying to milk this and see what the ROI is to see if they're actually getting the value out of it. When I see the announcements like that, talking about Loop and SharePoint and things that are sort of like omnipresent across Microsoft 365, my initial thought is, Microsoft is really clearly, they're hearing this message of, I don't even know if people are using it. And, you know, you and I have seen a lot of tools and stuff pop up where Microsoft is trying to say, look over here, you can see how many people are using this feature. This feature has some Copilot in it. And so you can sort of, I think you can look at the SharePoint announcements and say, I mean, who, for better or worse, doesn't spend some time in SharePoint every week? So look, everyone is soaking in Copilot because they're in SharePoint. They're starting to use Loop, et cetera. So I think it's about trying to be able to show ROI instead of saying these little isolated featurettes in Excel and Word and et cetera, et cetera. And of course, Teams, which is in there and not. So it's kind of messy, but that's what I sort of hear when I hear him talking.
Yeah. Yep. I think you're right. All right, I'm going to stop here and take a quick break so I can talk about something a little different. I'm going to talk about our series of podcasts we recorded last year, specifically dedicated to EAs, or enterprise agreements. Directions created a six-part podcast series featuring various members of our advisory services team, led by Dean Bedwell, all about Microsoft EA negotiation and its processes. Before he joined Directions, Dean spent 11 years at Microsoft managing the Canadian business desk, where he was responsible for negotiating agreements with Microsoft's largest enterprise and public sector customers. So he definitely knows what he's talking about. In our series, we discussed everything from project management to discovery, analysis strategies for getting discounts, concessions, and negotiation levers. So whether you are new to the EA negotiation process or a veteran who wants to hear more about the tips and tricks that we discovered over the years, you should check out our Microsoft EA negotiation podcasts. To listen to them, go to directionsonmicrosoft.com/podcast. You can listen to the whole series for free. And if you'd rather read something, we've got free deep dive explainers, including one on the Microsoft EA negotiation process. You can check them out on our website at directionsonmicrosoft.com. Just go to the resources tab and you can read any and all of our deep dive reports there. Directions offers advisory services such as EA negotiation support and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about all of our services. Okay, now I'm going to switch gears here, and I want to talk about a project that you undertook this year to try to help bring more clarity to our customers around copilots. I know you mentioned that customers and our analysts as well were having trouble finding direct, simple explanations about what Microsoft copilots do. So could you talk a bit more about what you were hearing that led you to do this project and how you went about trying to do it?
Sure. So selfishly, whenever I write a report that came out of our licensing boot camps, 9 times out of 10, I'm writing it because people ask me a question twice. And it's not that I hate answering questions. You know better than many how much I love to talk. But when it comes down to it, I also do get, I like to, you know, I've had two people ask me the same question. It's probably starting to be a pattern. And my joke is that if I hear it 3 times, I'm writing a report for sure. Well, the thing I kept hearing was that we needed to basically provide a layer of clarity. Ironic, given where this whole company came from, that we had to add a layer of clarity of what even are the copilots? What are my options? What can I buy? What is not a copilot by itself? And so I really stepped back instead of thinking about the volume of technical stuff and grounding details and things that customers don't have the time to understand. I really wanted to divine out a handful of very specific things. What are the copilots? What does each one purport to do? And how much does it cost? And how do I license it? And also, in certain cases, like we saw with Microsoft 365, even though I treated it as it was released, is the thing generally available? And that, of course, can have an asterisk next to it, because I would contend that in 2024, even for all of the copilots that are, quote, generally available, there are a bunch of features that are not, and right. We're dealing with more with services, so things will come, things will go. So just trying to divine out, really, those 4 things was the most important thing. And the irony is, I view it as success because I handed out a literal printed piece of paper at our boot camp last week in Bellevue, and I got no questions. I got a lot of happy responses and a lot of, oh, this is exactly what I needed, but I didn't get questions, which, it's funny, but I view that as success.
I think it is. Yeah, when I have been trying to find pricing and licensing information for the copilots, I sometimes just throw up my hands and say, nope, I can't find it. I even tried asking Copilot for it sometimes because I was so desperate, but no.
But then it doesn't know which copilot you're talking about.
It doesn't. Right. And then it's also been frustrating to try to figure out whether these things actually do provide value add beyond what I think they are good at, which is natural language query and summarization. So all of them are pretty good at that. You can ask questions more in a natural language kind of conversational style, and they can summarize things for you. But what's your takeaway, Ben, as you put this chart together? Do you think there is some there beyond those basic capabilities?
I think it depends on which one we're talking about. And so like when we talk again, if you look at our chart that you helped me build, the end result, I ordered it in an order that made our copywriter absolutely crazy, because she's like, this isn't alphabetized. What is the order? And I'm like, it's literally the order I've been asked about them. And I tried to put it sort of in popularity order, starting with GitHub Copilot, because that's the one that also, it's the oldest, but that's the one I feel that has the best, they have the best understanding of what they're trying to do here, and they have the best value proposition out of it. And honestly, even though I wouldn't put it the next one in terms of my list, because nobody ever asks about it, I would say Copilot for security does the same, because there they have this idea of, you're right, summarization, simplification, helping you with KQL queries. But my contention with that one, for example, is it's kind of similar to GitHub Copilot. What user is it targeting? Is it targeting the novice? Is it targeting the senior developer? Is it targeting somebody who's working in a stack of legacy code? And so in the case of Copilot for security, it's interesting because it will save a new user time who doesn't understand, you know, Cousteau query language, KQL. But it will also save an admin who wants to sit there and, okay, we had an incident, I just need a quick summary written up, write it up for me. So there's like it can serve a bunch of different ranges of customers. But what I'm finding is most of the Copilots tend to hit a very specific spot. They don't focus across all of Microsoft's users. And this is also something that, you know, this is more psychological than software. So it's a weird perspective, I guess. We'll see how the company addresses this over time. But this is also one of the challenges when we're talking about something that they've sold as such a big deal. But in a way, it's kind of like adding ribbons to Office.
Oh, no, don't go there.
Sorry. It's a fabric.
It's a fabric. Another use of the term fabric.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I know. It's you know what? It's interesting technology. It's very impressive in demos, but then I always come back to like, but how would I use it? Right? Like, I keep coming back to that. So
same.
Yeah.
Absolutely the same. I don't need it day to day, but it's an interesting sideshow.
It is. Speaking of sideshows, here's a big speculative kind of question. I think you've probably heard this, as I have, from industry observers, customers, even Microsoft employees. They're wondering, is Microsoft really going to stick with this? Are they going to stay with Copilots for the long haul? I mean, it's expensive for Microsoft to build out all the required infrastructure to support these services. And that's why some Copilots, I feel like Bing Chat, which is just called Copilot, and the kind of watered down Windows Copilot, which used to be something very different than what it's going to ship as, are free. So those ones are free. But other ones, as we've pointed out, are not, and they require a lot of prerequisites and costly user per month fees. So I know it's impossible to just say this for certain, but I'm curious what you think. Is Microsoft going to stick with the Copilot strategy, or are we talking Windows Phone all over again?
I'm doing my best to not be negative here. I think personally that there's a potential this could be much bigger than Windows Phone. And I mean that both in a positive and negative sense. The company is betting on this in a bigger way than anything. I mean, 7.5 years I was there was so long ago, it doesn't really even matter. But it's bigger than any big bet that I can remember. It's bigger than the internet. It's bigger than, quote, .NET. It's bigger than Hailstorm, Cairo, any of these things.
Yep.
WinFS. So to me, I look at this and I'm like, it is a literal huge bet. It is the biggest and most ongoing chronic bet that the company's ever made. And if this doesn't pan out, it's going to be very, very bad. This is a very scorched earth thing. I'm hopeful it does, for Microsoft's sake, for Satya's sake, but I have real concerns because of the amount of hardware. It's just layers of things, but beginning with the hardware, the amount of infrastructure required to do this, the costs it's asking of customers when no one can pay this, the the environmental effects, the electrical effects, the water effects. There's a whole layer of things here that are like, as a colleague likes to say, is the juice worth the squeeze? And I'm really worried that it's not. But I guess we'll have to sort of take a wait and see for the next 12 to 24 and see how things go.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the way they came out of the gate with co-pilots and how this is going to evolve is going to be different, right? I don't think they can keep up the pace, for one. Like, they can't keep rolling out co-pilot after co-pilot after co-pilot. I feel like this year they've been way slower in the rollout pace, which is good. They need to let people absorb what they're rolling out. But also, now they're talking more about agents, as every single tech company is, right? And that's more about like automating business processes instead of just like summarizing documents. So maybe in those cases where that makes sense, where you have rote, repetitive tasks that something like a co-pilot could assist with, this will make more sense and be something easier for customers to digest and to explain the ROI of. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely feasible. I mean, it's an area where, like, if you're a big go, you can walk up to Microsoft and say, listen, we spend $X million a year on this one weird, crazy problem that if we could just automate it, it would go away.
Yeah.
And we'd be willing to pay a certain amount for an AI layer that would do it for us. My concern going into that is, okay, so your problem is seven layers deep now.
Yeah.
Is it going to be eight layers deep if you add this to it? And what we've already seen both with the Power Platform and even just Azure AI services as they exist, so putting Copilot itself aside for the second, although it is based on Azure AI services, we're already seeing some companies with runaway costs, like significantly runaway. So it's really hard to know what the real cost is going to be before you go into them. And we'll see how many companies walk away from it after they try it and dabble in it. And it doesn't really show the value for the cost that they wind up paying in the real world.
Okay. All right. Well, on that cheery note, I want to say thank you for today's podcast and all the work on the new co-pilot chart. So I would like to ask, when can customers and readers and listeners get their hands on this chart?
So the chart actually, I believe, is available for download now. You might have to fill out one of those cursed forms, but I believe it's available for download now.
Oh, good.
And I will put the caveat in on a happier note. It's already out of date because Microsoft changed it on me, but I'll have a new version up next week that corrects the Microsoft 365 Copilot branding. And my intent is both to keep it up to date and, as we've discussed, version it so customers know if they have the latest version, and not necessarily do it as shame, but to highlight to Microsoft, listen, this is like the eighth time you've revved this. Are you ready to hold still a little bit? So we'll see how it goes, but it should be a fun exercise.
Nice. Yeah, I think we're trying to put all of our Copilot assets in a single place on the site. So it should be on directionsonmicrosoft.com/copilots if we're doing our homework correctly.
Excellent.
Thank you again, Wes. Appreciate
the time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right.
To close, I'd like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you again for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me on Twitter or X at Mary Jo Foley. And give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on X for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.